Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this great opportunity to reflect on what it means for you, us to be loved by you, to be put on us, and help us to know that you love us again and how what it means to be your saints. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Don't have a kids talk today, but this part of the sermon's for the kids. Whenever you think of the word saints, what do you think of? What comes to mind? I can tell you, when I was a little kid and I went to church and we had a talk about saints, the pastor asked this question, and I was not the person to ask, because my response was, they're people who play for the wrong football side. Because there was two in our town. There was a football side that was a Catholic background football side called St. Michael's, and they were called the Saints. But there was also the bigger AFL, and it was kind of a bit of a laugh. So we have that issue. But I find it ironic that our current in the AFL is a team called St. Kilda. They're called Saints. Their jumper is normally black, white, and red, but they change their jumper occasionally. And one of the changes is they put a big cross in the middle of the jumper. And I thought, someone in there knows what they're doing, or someone's just kind of going, oh, a cross might be a good idea. But then we have the other issue when we think about saints is, we get it from TV a little bit. Oh, he's a good little saint, or she's a good little saint, meaning they're good little kids, or good little people, or they never do anything wrong. So we have this perception that a saint is this perfect person, doesn't do anything wrong. But the Bible says something different. The Christian church says something different about saints. Now, in the Apostles' Creed that we stated for baptism that we had for Ahmed, and we say this frequently in the church, the third section, which is often the section that relates to the Holy Spirit, it makes this remember these words: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Have you ever reflected on that when you've said those words? What does this mean by the communion of saints? Have you ever thought, what's going on here, this communion of saints? Well, Revelations kind of opens this up for us. Because one of our problems living on this earth is that we think of things that are right in front of us now. You know, when we talk about Christians, we often think of the Christians that are around here, around us. And I remember when I was talking to what's now called a bishop, they were called presidents then, about the potential of becoming a pastor. He said, oh, look, I just want to share some stuff with you. The church may look like it's dying. It may look like it's struggling, you know, in Australia, because we live in Australia and particularly a number of our churches are struggling. And he said, however, in Ethiopia, the church is growing exponentially. This is about 25 years ago. And he said, the reality is, if you're going to be a pastor, you need to think about the church, not from just your own little point of view, where you are, but the worldwide church, and see what's happening, what God's doing around the world, and how that looks. But it's not only limited to the world we live now when we talk about the communion of saints. Because Paul, and this I should have mentioned this, Paul, throughout his scriptures, often refers to people who are part of the church, the followers of Jesus, those who are gathering, as saints. And we know, if we do a bit further reading of those letters, you know, he'll talk about them as saints at the start, and shortly he'll be going, you're not doing this right. So it's not about being perfect to be a saint. But then we know from Revelations, what we see from Revelations is not just Christianity is not just the Christians here today, but the Christians of all times and all places. And that's what Revelations gives us an insight into. And that's our reading that we had, our first reading that we had, said this. This gives us a nice, short, little, simple explanation of what a saint's about. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." A saint is somebody who points us to Jesus, who guides us to Jesus, who helps us know the life-giving message that God has given. Has anyone ever given you the gift of life? And for some people, this is quite significant. For many people, they would say, oh, it's my mum and my dad. But for others, they've had significant events happen in their life where they would say they've been given life and they've really appreciated of that. This is not a Christian story, but it's a story of somebody who recognises that someone played a role in them having life. I don't know if you know these names, but the rugby followers may know Ricky Stewart from Canberra. Ricky Stewart's a Canberra coach. He used to play rugby. Alan Jones used to be the Wallabies coach years ago, but he's also probably more known in Sydney as a radio announcer. When he was a Wallabies coach and Ricky Stewart was a young player, there was a time in Ricky's life where he collapsed three times on the field in practice. When he went to the hospital, they couldn't work out what was wrong. But Alan Jones says, I know a surgeon in Sydney, and this was when he was in Canberra, I know a surgeon in Sydney, let me ring him. And he explained the symptoms, and the surgeon says, well, you better give him to me quick. And so Alan rings back Ricky and said, we've got to get you to Sydney quick. To get you there, I'm going to ring one of my mates. He's got a private jet. That mate happened to be Kerry Packer. And so I put him on a jet and got him to Sydney and got him analysed and discovered he had an infection on the brain. And so he was having fluid and was developing on the brain. And Ricky Stewart says, Alan Jones saved his life by using his contacts so he could get treated, get cared for and get looked after. And this only came out last year because Alan Jones was seen in the coach's box at a rugby game in Ricky Stewart's coach's box and people asking why. And Alan's a little bit controversial in certain areas. And we have this unfortunate thing in Australia that we don't want to associate with people who are a little we don't like. We don't want to be seen to associate. But Ricky said, look, this bloke, through his contacts, saved my life. It's a good story, but we have an even better story because we have a better contact. You know, we have a better connection that we can trust on to save not just our lives but other people's lives. God gives us this gift of life. God gives us this gift of life. He makes life possible for us, not just on this earth, but eternally. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we hear, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we often think, and many of us would say, we thank God for the life he gives us. But that's our contact for others to have life. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, we hear, an elder said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. Now, the context of Revelation, it's written in a context where Christians had gone through much persecution and suffering. But it's also written in a context where people in society believed they would have salvation if they trusted in the government at the time, the local leaders. But then Revelation highlights, no, you don't get salvation. You don't get to be saved by trusting in the government. You get saved by trusting in Jesus because it's him who washes your sins and gives you life. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And from other sections within Scripture, we discover that the Lamb is a reference to Jesus. And so we have this gift of life which we've been given to us. But it's also God is our contact to give life to others. So something for you to keep thinking about, like we did in our faith talk, but for all of us to keep thinking about is who has connected you with Jesus? So you receive life from him. Who has been helpful? It might not be just one person, but a number of people who continues to connect you to Jesus so you receive life from him. Now we have an example in the Bible where we see this happening. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 we hear, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives also in you. And it's amazing how God works in that way. When people see their lives as people who are not the source of life, but the, can connect people where they can gain life. You know, another well-known past person in Scripture is John the Baptist. When we come to Advent, we'll talk a little bit about him, but he has this message, you know, I'm not the one, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the one who's saved. You've got to focus on Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. I'm just here to prepare the way. And for us as Christians, we can be thankful for those who have had done that. But it's also important for us to keep in mind we are also two saints and have the opportunity to use our contact, our connection with God to help others have life. Recently we've been running the Alpha course, the Alpha program at Redeemer. One of the blokes said to me, can we continue doing this after we finish? It's great to get together on a Thursday night for a meal and to talk about Jesus and stuff. That's good, but what is even more impressive, and I'll tell you this story that just is encouraging. About 4 weeks before we began the Alpha course, a gentleman walked past the church there. Yamo, who's a member of the church, was out the front just doing something in the gardening at the front. And this bloke was showing a little bit of interest to the church, and he said, oh, come and have a look, we've renovated. And this bloke lives up a few doors up the road, and he's about 40-ish. So he comes into the church and starts talking, and he starts worshipping with us. About a week or two after he starts worshipping, he invites his mum, who he lives with, to come and worship with us. Then we start the Alpha course, and the mum says she'll cook and do things there, so that's going on. Then the mum invites her other son to the Alpha course, and he has a version of Christian faith which has been influenced by his cultural background, and it's, you know, there's some faith there, but he has questions that some of us would think, well, everyone knows that, you know, like what's a Lutheran or what's a Protestant, you know. But it gets even better. This bloke who had less than one day's connection with us says to one of his mates, I'm going to the church on Thursday night to an Alpha course. You get a free feed and they're talking a bit about Jesus. Do you want to come? So this bloke comes along. Right? And then last week, you know, we're nearly finished the Alpha course. This bloke then invites another bloke to come along. Right? And this is how the connection, it's not about them having to. And this is why the communion of saints is so important. Because we're not in this faith journey alone. We're here to be able to share the faith with others, but also help others in them sharing the faith with their family and friends. And it goes broader than that. So Armoured, you know, one of the things I've been trying to help Armoured with is find a congregation in Morocco, and there's not many, and we've reached out, and, you know, it depends because of the situation how that works, but is to connect Christians together and be part of this together. I've come across this book, and unfortunately I haven't been able to read it because it's not an electronic copy and I only discovered it during the week. But I read some of the reviews and read some of the things, and it's called Ordinary Saints. And one of the comments about one of the reviews says this: saints are people who appear to have ordinary lives. In fact, the hint is that most people in the world won't notice a saint. But there's one difference. And this book is full of stories like policemen, garbage collectors, factory workers. But they go about their ordinary life with a focus on living to the glory of God. In other words, living out 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it always to the glory of God. And that involves them connecting people to the life-giving Jesus. Some of you may remember a few years ago there was a gentleman called Nomio that was from Mongolia worshipping with us. And Nomio came out to Australia to learn English so he could eventually study to become a pastor. And he's currently studying now in Philippines to be a pastor, Lutheran pastor back in Mongolia. But when he was out here, he was doing his course, and he was allowed to work 20 hours a week as a student. So he worked on a construction site with other Mongolians, because they seemed to work together. And he shared with me, he said, I have two reasons for working on the construction site. One is to earn money so I can put food on the table, and two is to share the faith. Share the faith with other Mongolians. Right? And there, as a result, there was one family baptised. But he'd regularly, and it caused me more work, because what would happen, he'd say, oh, Pastor, can you come and do a Bible study with my Mongolian friends at my house on a Saturday night? So we'd go out and do a Bible study over a meal. Their English was very minimal. My Mongolian is even less. But through Nomeo being open to connecting people to Jesus, people started exploring and discovering who Jesus is. And so when we think about saints, let's not think of the superheroes. Because saints are not the superheroes. Yes, we have certain people who have been called saints for various reasons, who have done really great things. Right? But saints are simply people like you and me who rely on Jesus for forgiveness and life. Who simply recognise that without Jesus they don't have a future. And then they live connecting, pointing and guiding people to Jesus so they too can have life that only Jesus can offer. And this is not necessarily through words alone or words by themselves, but also through actions and how they go about things. One of the people who has outside my family have impacted me most was one of my parishioners a number of years ago, who the way she handled conflict, people used to say, she had the heart and soul of a saint. Because no matter what happened, she was never ruffled. She never got upset. She just kind of dealt with it. And I remember talking to her about a frustration about someone and something that happened. And she said, oh, let's just pray to God about that. Right? And the way she prayed, it wasn't about God pull them into line. It was completely, God, help me. Help us to love them. Help us to work with this person. And so what does all this mean in our life in living the faith? How do we respond to this? Being a saint. Have you ever thought of yourself as a saint? One of my sisters would say, Richard, you're putting yourself on a pedestal if you think you're a saint, because she thinks of a saint as that perfect. But it's important to see ourselves as saints, but not to promote ourselves, but to promote Jesus. Because remember, a saint is not a special or perfect person, but a sinner who relies on God for forgiveness. And that comes from the New Testament. And then thank God for the saints in your life, and thank the saints who have connected you to Jesus. Now, one of the stories that we heard recently in the Alpha Course, Nikki Gumbel tells this story of a person who was in war, and he asked the chaplain to take back a letter because he was dying overseas, away. And he said, can you go and deliver this letter to this burnt man? And he did. And the man opened the letter and he started crying. And the reason he started crying is because in that letter, the person who was dying had basically said, I thank you for being my Sunday school teacher, for passing on the stories of Jesus, the salvation story, the message to me. And why this man started crying, which he revealed to the chaplain, was he said, I thought no one was listening, so I gave up. If I'd heard this earlier on, I probably would still be Sunday school teaching. And so can I encourage you to not just thank God for those people who are saints, but can you spend time, if they're still alive, to contact them, to thank them for what they've done in sharing the faith. And thirdly, go about your life living as one of God's saints, being part of God's community of faith, by focusing on connecting people with Jesus and the life he gives. This doesn't mean you have to become a nerd, a Christian nerd, but thinking about that opportunity. Think like Nomeo, you know, where opportunities arise to share the faith, to invite people. One of the things I'm surprised about, we're getting told in Australia, people are not interested in Christianity. We see people are interested in spirituality. And sometimes I'll be in a very secular environment and the worst question comes to me, you know, what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm a pastor. And then they start asking question after question. There's an interest. Right? And I'm sometimes surprised by the interest. Because I haven't initiated the discussion they have. And so can I encourage you to think about the opportunities you may have to gently share Jesus with others so they get to see and experience that love that Jesus has. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the wonderful gift of your grace, your salvation, your love. Be with us and pour down your Holy Spirit on us as we live in this world. Live in a world that's got challenges in many ways, but also live in a world where saints, your saints are at work, sharing your love and your grace, and we are thankful for that. We also pray that you help each one of us to be your saints in the world, to go out of our way to share your faith with others in the circumstances and situations we live in. Thank you, Lord. Be with us and encourage us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.